So having a seminary and an internship, you know, there's just this checklist of things you have to do. Shovel the driveway still has not been done. Doing dishes have not been done. But yesterday we had pre-Cana, so that's a check. We can say we did that. Last night he was with the youth until 1:30 in the morning, up until 1:30 in the morning because the kids were being kids. Check. So we're making progress very, very slowly. If we can just get them to do the dishes and the driveway, we'll be all set. If you remember last week's readings, it started this gospel passage. So there's two, the two parts are really one, but they break it up because they're so long. And we talked about last week the old law versus what Jesus is refining or perfecting. Because recall, he said, I've come not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. So one of the main problems with the scribes and the Pharisees of the day, Jesus' day, is that they interpreted it to meet their lifestyle. They changed God's laws so they could continue living the pagan ways they were living. As opposed to them changing their life to meet God's law, they changed God's law to meet their lifestyle, which is exactly what we are seeing in our own world today. And recall, it's easy that for us to justify anything what we're doing because, after all, I'm just following the spirit of the law, right? Which means he's doing whatever he wants to do, and as long as it's the spirit of whatever that means. After all, it was the spirit that gave the law, and the spirit is not divided. It was the Holy Spirit that inspired Moses to go up the mountain, that prompted the whole Ten Commandments. So God is part of the law and the prophets. It's not like the law and the prophets are anti-God or against God and God's fighting against it. No, they are his laws and they are his gift. Because after all, the law and the prophets are not an end unto themselves. They are a guidepost for us to keep us on the straight and narrow. They're not to be sought out. They're not to be fallen in love with and devoured. They're to be meditated on, the psalmist says, day and night, so that we will learn them and be the people God wants us to be. So last week we talked about that a little bit, and we talked about how it was all external. Because after all, you have heard that it was said, if you commit adultery, XYZ, but I tell you, Jesus does not care about the externals. In the readings today, that's the worldly wisdom that we live in right now. That's the keeping up appearances so that people think something about you, rather than you just being yourself and trying to be the best you can. So our world right now is concerned about externals, but as Catholics, we know externals are not the most important. For example, right now, if you look around this room, we'd say this is, you know, a pretty full church. But what we don't see is this is a packed church. With the eyes, natural eyes, we see just people, the externals. But with the eyes of faith, we know that every angel and saint is in this room right now. That's our faith. Mary and Joseph are here. Jesus is going to be wherever two or three are gathered in his name, I'm in their midst. But he's going to be really and substantially present in a few moments. But if we only go by what we see, we're missing an awful lot. So you have heard it said, this, that, and the other thing. But I tell you, Jesus is more concerned about the heart. He told us time and again that nothing external that enters a person makes them unclean. What makes them unclean is from the inside. And I think these readings last week and today are great for us as we are standing right on the edge of Lent. What a great examination of conscience. Last week and this week, how are we living our life? Are we living purely the external, or are we living the way our church has called us to live? The life of the sacrament, the invisible reality, not the external sign. Yes, we need the externals. We need them. In a moment, we're going to baptize this baby with water. Water is great, isn't it? We love water. I just had to go and get a little because I've got a tickle in my throat. I did take a shower this morning, even though you may not notice it. Water is wonderful. But there's something more that's going to take place here. God is going to take his natural creation, and he's going to, through that, touch this child in such a way. But what you and I are going to see is a child walking in and a child going out. But the reality is, a fallen human walked in, a child of God is going out. God is going to do something to that baby. God is going to do something to bread and wine. God is going to do something with the oils that we will use. He's going to use the externals, and he's going to do something that we can't see but by faith. So our focus should not be on the externals. That's the foolishness of our world right now, where you just keep up appearances. Look good, people will think you're good. Jesus says that's not true. Our actions come from what's inside. Or our actions betray what's inside. So today's final two little points of you have heard it said. Last week, I think there was four or five. Today, there's two. The two today focus in on how we deal with jerks. How should the Christian deal with a jerk? If someone is a jerk to you, is it fair to be a jerk back? The wisdom of this world says yes. Actually, no. The wisdom of this world says take them to court, not just for, you know, what they did for you, but milk them for all they've got. That's the laws of our world. The law of Jesus, though, says when someone's a jerk to you, love them. If someone take something from you, give them more. If someone isn't, you know, the point is what God has done for us, we must do for others. And as we look up there, and remember, we're going to go through this all during Lent. They plucked my beard. They spitted on me. And what did he do? He returned no insult. He turned the other cheek and let them pluck the other side of his beard. The scripture just told us that we are children of God. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And if anyone destroys this temple, God will destroy them. That's the scripture. That's why Lent is so important for us. How are we dealing with the temple? Not the externals. Thank God, not the externals. Buddha. Not the externals. The heart. What is going on with our heart? And yes, it needs to be addressed because clearly I'm loving something more than it deserves. I just love food. To the detriment. So we're given a beautiful opportunity this coming Lent to really look inside of our heart and to say, am I doing all I can? Now, if you heard those seven, thou shalt, you've heard it said, but I tell you, I think it's impossible to do that, don't you? I mean, can you really turn your mind off thinking things? No. Unless we're like Jesus. Because though he was in the form of God, he didn't deem equality with God something to be grasped at. He emptied himself. And he took the form of a slave, and he was like us in all things but sin. But he never succumbed to the temptations. And he didn't because he was completely and totally dependent on his Father. And I think that's probably where most of us fall short. We think that maybe a 45-minute, at IHM, an hour-long mass, we think an hour-long mass would say or show that we're dependent on God. No, it really doesn't. An hour is nothing. Well, I bless my food before I eat it. Well, that's great. You should. But that's not dependent on God. Dependence on God comes is the recognition that this morning when I woke up, it's because God wanted me to wake up. That God loves me in existence even now. He's holding me. I'm not holding myself in existence. That's dependence on God. And so great opportunity for us this Lent to look at our dependence. Are we really dependent on God? Are we aware? Are we aware of our dependence on God? And that's a shift in our mind, shift in our thinking. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us look inside this Lenten season so that we can be the temples that God created us to be.